So what sort of therapy and help have you been getting since this accident?
Quite a bit, both physically and psychologically. Obviously, the most important thing is getting back up on my feet. I was very lucky in that I managed to keep my knee in the blast. I lost my foot and part of my leg, but my knee's still intact. And that makes walking a lot easier. So earlier today, actually, I went over to the hospital. I was measured up for my artificial foot, which will be fitted just as soon as I'm able in a few weeks' time. And with lots of physio and gym work, I'm keeping up my strength and making sure that that my body doesn't turn to jelly while I'm stuck in a wheelchair. But of course, the other part is the psychological aspect, which is still something of an unknown quantity for me. Mentally, I feel pretty good, fine as can be expected, certainly. But obviously, the post-traumatic stress is an increasingly, people are becoming increasingly aware of post-traumatic stress, and that's certainly something that I'll be looking into and talking to people in the next couple of weeks to make sure that, that it doesn't come back to haunt me in the months ahead.
Would you be able to go back to work at the BBC?
Yes, I will. One of the first things I asked my doctor when I arrived back was, when can I go back to work? And obviously, it's a rather a slow process. It's quite strange from 1 month ago almost to the day I was in Iraq, and a month on, I'm back with my parents in my hometown of Cardiff. So it's been quite a strange month. There's been a lot of adjusting going on. But the one thing that everybody's clear about is that there's absolutely no reason why I won't be able to do everything I was doing before. I may have to think about things a little bit more, and certain things may be a little bit more difficult. But the prognosis is very good, and my physio has told me her aim is certainly, by the time she's finished with me, I'll be able to walk into a room with my new foot, and hopefully people won't be able to notice that anything's happened. So that's what I'm holding out for.
Stuart, I expect this has left you with pretty strong views on the issue of landmines.
It has. It's one of those issues that I was obviously aware of, but was kind of in the background. I never took a great direct interest in it before now. But if you're affected in the way I have been, then the obvious reaction is to try and find out as much as you can about them. And the extent of the landmine problem worldwide, but particularly in Iraq, where I was, has just horrified me. I mean, there are somewhere between 8 and 12 million landmines scattered around Iraq, and in about 70 countries, most of them poor people are being killed every 20 minutes or so, killed or injured by a landmine, which sit there under the ground for years and years. They're called the silent killers, and they certainly are that, because the landmine that killed Carvey, we think, could have been there for up to 20 years. Once it's in the ground, it's difficult to see. There was no evidence of it. So I'm quickly getting up to speed on landmine issues and doing some awareness-raising work for the Mines Advisory Group, one of the main groups working in northern Iraq. And I think that's my way of dealing with it, if you like, that obviously nothing I can do can bring Carvey back or bring my foot back, but if I can at least do something to make people more aware of the extent of the problem, especially the number of children that are being killed around the world by landmines, then that's got to be a good thing.